تعال بسرعة، اكتشاف.
What? English, man. English.
Oh, yes, sir. Sorry, sir. The colonel need you straight away, sir. He has make a discovery.
Mallory, what is it?
A new chamber. Just the other side of this wall. Harding, it's never been unsealed.
My God. We're the first.
First in centuries. Wait. Pass me the light.
Well, what's in there? What can you see?
Eyes. I can see eyes.
The Eyes of Horus by Bert Cools. With Clive Medicine as Sherlock Holmes and Andrew Sachs as Dr. John Watson. And featuring Colette O'Neill as Lady Mallory and Stephen Thorne as Inspector Lestrade. The Eyes of Horus.
Ready, Wilson?
Ready, Mr. Lofty.
Very good. On the count of three. One, two, three. After you, Lady Mallory.
Thank you.
Now, vault opened at 2:36. Post-meridian. Casket unlocked at... Lady Mary?
Of course.
2:37. Contents of casket verified by...
Myself.
Lady Jean Mallory.
And by me.
Under Manager Wilson.
And this procedure was followed every time?
Every single time, Mr. Holmes. Whenever it was taken out, whenever it was returned. I've seen the ledger. The records go back at least 20 years.
And on this occasion, it was being returned.
That's right.
Thank you. Carry on, Lestrade.
Well, then she unlocked her personal safety deposit drawer, put the gasket inside, and locked it again. And that went down in the book too. And so did the closing and locking of the vault.
Thank you, Mr. Lofting. Wilson.
Lady Mallory.
My lady.
Until the next time, then.
If I might just say something.
Yes?
Everyone here wishes to offer their most sincere condolences. Sir Reginald was a fine man.
Thank you.
And this was 3 months ago.
Almost to the day.
And she's not gone back to the bank since.
Not until late this morning, when she went to withdraw it again.
Casket unlocked at 11:50. And contents verified by... My lady?
Lady Mallory?
Mr. Lofting, is this some sort of twisted joke?
It had gone.
Completely.
It's a pretty little problem.
I wouldn't advise you to say that to their faces, Mr. Holmes. No sign of any forced entry. Only one door. No windows, no ventilators. Walls. Solid. No other ways into the vault. No visible tampering with the safety deposit drawer. And...
Be careful with that, Inspector.
No damage to the container. Four keys are needed to get at it. You, Lady Mallory, have two of them, and the other two are held by you, Mr. Lofton?
And my under-manager, Wilson. Terence Wilson.
The man who came round to the yard.
You think I would have sent some junior clerk? Good God, Lestrade, if word of this gets out, the repercussions could be devastating.
Yes, sir, you have said.
Was he exaggerating?
Apparently not. The commissioner used the phrase international incident.
Well, well.
You'll be getting the official request to investigate from Downing Street. But I was asked to come round straight away.
Well, no doubt my brother Mycroft's penning his telegram even as we speak. So, the Eye of Horus. Let's see what we can learn. But what did you tell them, Lestrade? Something reassuring in your usual diplomatic style?
Tell me the truth, Detective Inspector.
The truth? Well, milady, I don't know how it was done.
I don't care how it was done. Can you recover the stone?
I'm sorry. I think it's extremely unlikely.
How did she take it? Ah, it's this one, I think.
You know the aristocracy. Rather cut out their tongue than show emotion in front of the likes of me. But I think you could say that she wasn't best pleased.
Ah, here we are. Here we are. The Eyes of Horus. It's removed from a temple that Abu Simbel, dating from at least 11 centuries before Christ. Yes. Two geometrically perfect 3-inch spheres of pure malachite, inset with lapis lazuli and mounted in settings of bronze and silver.
No gold or diamonds or anything?
The ancient Egyptians preferred other materials.
Then what's all the fuss about?
Antiquity brings its own value. Beautiful workmanship adds to it, and rarity sets the seal.
Lady Mallory said it was unique.
Well, apart from its twin, yes. The Eye of Horus was a powerful symbol in paintings and friezes, but solid, three-dimensional examples are almost unheard of. At least you've only got one eye to hunt for.
Well, I suppose that's something.
I'll be grateful for scraps, Lestrade, especially when there's little prospect of a good square meal. Any theories yet?
Yes?
Begging your pardon, sir.
Yes? What do you want?
Detective Sergeant Lockwood, sir. We've almost finished interviewing the staff.
And?
I was wondering where I might find your under-manager, sir. Mr. Terence Wilson?
Well, I presume he's in his office.
No, sir. Nor does he appear to be anywhere on the premises.
Theories? That's your department, isn't it?
Excellent. An illustration. Oh, it's a bonny bauble. Look.
Well, not really my sort of thing.
No? Oh, well.
You know, I don't understand it. It's not the sort of thing you could fence, surely. Too distinctive by half.
In the thief's place, I'd sell it to a collector. There are men who'd pay a fortune for such a prize.
Even though they could never show it to anyone else?
A collecting mania. Possession is everything.
Yeah, there's some strange people in the world.
It'd be a dull planet if there weren't.
My dear Holmes, the most extraordinary thing's happened.
What do you mean? What have you heard?
Oh, hello, Inspector. Look, if I'm interrupting something...
On the contrary, you arrive with your usual masterly dramatic timing.
Yeah, come inside, Doctor. Shut the door.
Oh, what's wrong? Well,
please, just tell me what you've heard.
I haven't heard anything. Why am I being interrogated in my own home?
Now, you relax, Watson. The good inspector's somewhat on edge. Lestrade, surely you don't imagine that news of the theft has already reached Oxford Street, let alone Epsom Downs?
Theft?
Epsom Downs?
A cursory glance should have told you that the doctor's come straight here from the racetrack, stopping only at Bradley's the tobacconist's, where he purchased that extremely extravagant box of cigars.
I had the most amazing run of luck. 5 winners in a row.
Congratulations.
So, you don't know about it?
Yeah, about what? What's happened?
Take off your coat, Doctor, light up one of those monsters and listen to the most intriguing tale you'll have heard in weeks.
You let me know straight away, right? The minute he shows up.
Of course I will, Sergeant.
Good, and thanks for your help. Good day, Mum.
Good day.
Back to the bank, Constable.
You got something useful, Sarge?
You could say that. I reckon I solved it.
Ah, you're right. That is quite a story.
And here's the missing object, together with its counterpart.
Oh, well, they're beautiful.
Beautiful and deadly. All great gemstones are, one way or another.
Both removed from the same temple?
Yes, but as siblings are wont to do, they went off on their separate paths.
And now one of them's been stolen. Is the other one in this country, too?
Oh, yes.
Have you warned the owner, Inspector?
No, Doctor. It wasn't thought necessary.
Well, surely...
The second eye isn't going to disappear.
How can you be so sure? Where is it?
In Buckingham Palace. It's part of the Queen's private collection.
Ah.
Which complicates matters more than somewhat.
Why does it?
Because Lady Mallory's family have always made their stone available to the palace for special occasions. So the pair could be exhibited together.
The family think of themselves as holding their eye in trust for the crown.
And presumably there's a special occasion very soon.
Mm-hmm. Tomorrow night. State banquet for the new Egyptian ambassador. God only knows what Her Majesty's going to say to him.
She could always tell him the truth.
Oh, yes, I'm sure that would go down very well. There's quite enough controversy about the damn thing as it is. Apparently the Egyptians reckon the stones belong in Egypt. They want them back.
You can see their point of view, I suppose.
Well, if it does ever happen, it looks like they'll have to be satisfied with just the one.
What do you know about Horus, Lestrade?
Well, only what every schoolboy knows. He was one of their heathen gods.
There were several deities known as Horus, but we're dealing with the original, the brother of Isis and Osiris. He went by several different names, the noblest and most sacred being Mekentiri.
Yeah, Mr. Holmes, is this relevant?
Which rather unfortunately translates as he who has two eyes. Losing one of them is probably a deadlier insult than if we'd managed to mislay them both. Shall we go and look at that vault?
Anything?
Not a thing. A mouse couldn't get in. Lestrade was right. Intriguing, isn't it? A crime that could have been committed 3 months ago, 3 weeks, or 3 hours. Now, Lestrade, where the devil did you run off to?
Been talking to one of my sergeants. There's been a development.
What's that, Inspector?
The under-manager, Wilson. He's disappeared. And that's not all. According to his landlady, 3 months back, he was practically in Queer Street. Up to his ears in debt.
If you want to know a man, talk to his landlady.
Oh, I'll bear that in mind. Anyway, suddenly, out of the blue, Wilson came into money and straightened everything out. What do you make of that, then?
What am I supposed to make of it?
Well, I know you like to complicate everything, Mr. Holmes, but it seems to me this is now an open and shut case.
Wilson stole the Eye of Horus.
Ah, I suspected an inside job, and this confirms it. Ah, yes. Wilson's our man, no question.
How did he do it?
He made a duplicate of the manager's key. Then once he was inside the vault, he picked the other locks. Well, don't say it's impossible. I've seen you do it.
Oh, it's perfectly possible. Who was his accomplice?
What do you mean, accomplice?
How long do you want the room for?
I'm not sure.
A day? A week? A couple of hours?
A month. I'll take it for a month.
Name?
What?
Smith's popular.
That's it. Smith. John Smith.
That's right, Mr. Holmes. The vault can only be entered if both locks open simultaneously.
It won't have escaped that eagle eyesight of yours, Lestrade, that the keyholes are some 10 feet apart.
So we had an accomplice. It changes nothing.
Access to this part of the bank is strictly controlled. Wilson couldn't have come down here on his own without me knowing about it, let alone with someone else.
Well, we'll see. I've got every available man out on the streets and notices posted at the ports and railway stations. He can't hide forever.
Mr. Holmes, do you wish to interview my staff?
Thank you, no. I believe I'll offer my condolences to the former guardian of the eye.
I'm very pleased that you're involved, Mr. Holmes. I have the highest opinion of your abilities. If the government hadn't called you in, I would have done so myself.
Very gracious of you, Lady Mallory.
Ah, here's the casket. Just put it down here, Rawlings. That will be all.
My lady.
That's interesting. A perfect bronze cube.
Are those inlays gold?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. A worthy home for its occupant.
Did you have it specially made, Lady Mallory?
No, Doctor. It's been in the family for a very long time. I've no idea what it was originally intended for, but it was the perfect size and it seemed fitting. But why are you so interested in it, Mr. Holmes?
Because this box represented the final hurdle to our thief. May I have your key, please?
Certainly. It's the smaller of the two.
Ah. Yes, presumably the other one fits the safety deposit drawer.
Yes.
You didn't think it prudent to keep the two separate? No? Well, doubtless you know best. It's padded velvet interior. No place for concealment.
Of course not.
Yes, very good. There's no sign of any tampering with the lock.
Yes, that's what Inspector Lestrade said.
Really? Thank you. How did the stone come into your family's possession?
It was my late husband's grandfather and his partner who first discovered the eyes. Lord Arthur donated his to the Queen, and the other became part of our family's collection of Egyptian antiquities.
Is it housed here, this collection?
No.
At the bank?
No. Almost all of the items were disposed of some years ago.
But you retained the eye?
Obviously.
Thank you very much. I don't believe I need to detain you any longer. Watson.
Oh, good day, my lady.
Wait, gentlemen. Mr. Holmes, when do you expect to make some progress in this matter?
I hope to have some news for you shortly.
But that's wonderful.
Unfortunately, I can't guarantee it will be good news. My lady.
Oh, poor woman. What a terrible blow for her.
And for the family honour.
So soon after losing her husband, too. Did you have to be so brutally honest?
It doesn't do to create false hope. We're dealing with a formidable criminal mind. Have you thought about the method?
Of course I have. It couldn't have been easy, however it was done.
You know, it's an excellent precept always to reject the complex in favour of the straightforward.
You're surely not saying the solution's simple.
Driver, stop here.
Well, I thought we were going back to Baker Street.
Wait for me there. If the Strayed wants to know what I'm doing, tell him I'm killing two birds with one stone.
Within a moment.
Now, please take your time.
Sorry to keep you on. Ah, a gentleman.
Very observant of you.
Beg pardon, sir, but I don't often get gentry in here. Oh, that's a fine timepiece. That'll give you years of faithful service.
Thank you, but I'm hoping to acquire something rather different for my collection.
Oh, what would that be, sir?
You.
Sir?
I've been watching you for some considerable time, Mr. Newman.
What do you mean? Watching me.
And it's obvious that both you and your establishment are far more than they seem. This place is a clearinghouse for almost all the illicit financial dealing in this part of the capital.
Who are you?
My card.
Ah.
Quiet. You supply moneylenders with the names of likely clients, and you advise the desperate and the despairing on where best to find help. You serve both the hunters and the hunted. And my good friends at Scotland Yard would be extremely interested to learn your name.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, fortunately for you, you'll be far more useful to me at liberty.
Useful?
As a most valuable source of information. I'm looking forward to years of faithful service.
I help you?
I'm looking for a man. This man.
Well, you won't find him here. I haven't seen him. You can tell your boss that from me.
Perhaps I'll have a look for myself.
And perhaps you'll be crawling back to your governor with a few extra entrances and exits.
I'll be watching this place. And you.
Then you'll be wasting your time. He's not going to like that, is he, your governor? He's probably not going to like getting the bill for my new door, neither.
You've not heard the last of this.
goodness sake, man, get up.
I heard a noise. A crash.
A bruiser looking for you.
Oh, dear God.
Don't worry. I told him you weren't here.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much.
You're in my house. You're under my protection.
I'm so grateful.
Don't you worry, love. You'll be all right here.
I'm afraid I don't think so.
Oh!
Because it's likely that that charming gentleman will be back before long. Forgive me entering unannounced, but the front door was open.
Who are you? What do you want?
Good question. Either you're safe as houses now, my friend, or you're really in trouble. Which is it, Mr. Holmes?
Mrs. Margaret Hartnell is one of the shrewdest judges of character I've ever encountered. We've been of service to each other several times in the past. It was a lucky star that led you to her door.
Just how much do you know about my private business, Mr. Holmes?
I know that you were in financial difficulties and that you couldn't look to your own bank.
For disgrace.
Exactly. So I asked someone who's also in the money business, but a man of your position would be most likely to turn for discreet assistance. He gave me a name straight away.
So you know who it is who's persecuting me?
I do.
Rosen. That's a name we know well. If you're mixed up with Solomon Rosen, there's no wonder at the state you're in. Do you still owe him money?
I repaid the loan in full, and all his outrageous interest.
And he's still hounding you?
Mr. Rosen is branching out.
Blackmail.
Exactly. Rosen's a last desperate resort, and most of his clients have a very great deal to lose.
If my dealings with him were to become known, he threatened to tell the bank.
Unless you paid him more money.
It wasn't money he wanted. It was information. The names of clients who might be grateful for his services. Well, I refused.
Oh, that was extremely brave of you. Rosen's thugs can be very persuasive.
Two of them had been on my tail. I didn't know it. When I went to report the disappearance of the eye, they saw me go into Scotland Yard.
And assumed that he'd gone to the police with a full account of their little racket.
They wouldn't believe me when I denied it. I think they'd have used violence there and then if there hadn't been so many people around. Doctor, they threatened my life.
Oh, their usual tactic.
And it's not an empty threat, I assure you.
I believe you. Thank God I managed to get away from them and give them the slip.
They've been in hiding ever since.
Well, until you found me. Mr. Holmes, what can I do? Rosen won't stop looking for me.
Give yourself up to the police. A cell at the Yard is the safest place for you, just at the moment.
But the police think I stole the Eye of Horus.
Ah, but I know that you did not.
And does that mean... Do you know who did take it?
Yes, I do. And how it was accomplished.
I see.
Finish your drink, Mr. Wilson. It's time to break the good news to Inspector Lestrade.
We didn't get you out of bed then, Inspector.
No such luck, Doctor. It's been made very clear that no one rests until this matter's done with.
Going without sleep's not a good idea. Get your head down for a couple of hours and you'll be the better for it.
I might well do that now. Having Wilson under lock and key ties up a very loose end, even if he doesn't turn out to be a thief.
Which he's not.
If you say so.
I do. A word of advice, Lestrade. Treat Wilson well, and he'll help you put Solomon Rosen and his thugs behind bars.
Rosen? Wilson's mixed up with him?
And unlike most of Rosen's victims, he'll be willing to testify if you play him carefully.
Oh, I've been after that gang for years.
That'll be a feather in your cap, Inspector.
No, I've got to see this bank job business wrapped up first. I can't persuade you to tell me what you know right now, I suppose.
No, there are still a few things I have to arrange first. I suggest you take Watson's advice and get some sleep. I rather think you'll need your wits about you tomorrow.
Well, Mr. Holmes, what is it you have to say to us?
Patience, Lady Mallory. All the players are not yet on stage. Nothing can happen until the cast is assembled.
Just how much longer will I have to wait?
I think they've arrived.
Excellent.
We're all down here, Inspector.
Right you are, Doctor. Down you go.
Good morning, Mr. Holmes. Lady Mallory.
Wilson, where the devil have you been, man?
I trust you're none the worse for your night in Lestrade's tender care.
Not at all.
He's your prisoner, Lestrade. Then you did steal my property, you villain.
I stole nothing.
Unlikely tale.
All right, that's enough. Mr. Holmes?
Thank you. Now, I remarked yesterday to my good friend Watson that it's invariably a mistake to favour the complex over the straightforward. This robbery, if that is indeed what it was...
What nonsense is this?
If you please, thank you. This occurrence was, on the face of it, complicated in the extreme. An unparalleled level of security, and still the fabulous Eye of Horus is somehow spirited off through four locks, through barriers of wood and metal, and through a 5-inch steel door. It went on its way. Allow me to show you how. Lady Mallory, may I have your key to the safe deposit drawer, please?
You may.
Thank you. Mr. Lofting, I believe you now have both of the keys to the vault door.
Reluctantly returned to me by the police? Yes, I do.
Yes, be so kind as to give one of them to Mr. Wilson.
What? You wish me to entrust bank property to a criminal?
Just do it, Mr. Lofting. He won't be going anywhere.
Under protest, I do this. Wilson?
Thank you.
Now we require the star of our mystery. The Eye of Horus itself.
Are you telling me you have it? Good God, man, all this rigmarole and you have it.
Unfortunately, I do not. Watson?
Oh, yes, this will serve as a substitute.
Such a fitting understudy. A pure gold snuff box with inset amethyst of impeccable provenance.
And in the absence of Lady Mallory's antique casket, I offer this.
A cigar box?
Courtesy of 5 winners in a row. Hardly an exact match, I grant you, but it will serve. Snuff box goes inside. Yes, and 2 stout rubber bands act as the lock, one this way and one that. Now, I think you'll agree that it's impossible to get at the snuff box without removing the bands. Doctor?
Certainly.
Mr. Lofty?
Yes, yes.
Yes, well, the parallel is accurate and our casket is securely closed. Capital. Take charge of it for a moment, would you, Watson?
Of course.
Thank you. Now, we're about to reenact the events of 3 months ago, specifically the 16th of August, the day on which the Eye was last returned to its safe haven. Mr. Lofting, Mr. Wilson, you shall play yourselves. I shall take the part of Lady Mallory. Now, if the rest of you would kindly gather along that wall. Thank you. Good. Right. Then the action can commence. Mr. Lofting...
Well, the 3 of us came down the stairs, and Wilson and I unlocked the vault door.
Who was carrying the casket?
I was, of course.
Of course, yes. Doctor?
Here.
Thank you. I think we can take the descent down the stairs as read. Mr. Lofting, Mr. Wilson, please unlock the vault.
If I must. Ready, Wilson?
Ready.
On the count of 3. 1, 2, 3.
Beautifully done. Who was the first to enter the vault?
Lady Mallory, then myself, then Wilson.
Thank you. Then in we go. Oh, no, wait, wait.
What's wrong?
Our recreation's lacking a detail. Mr. Wilson, was it a bandage or a sling?
How in the world did you know? A sling, Mr. Holmes.
On your right arm?
Yes.
You were injured, Mr. Wilson.
Well, we can imagine the sling. On with the drama. First myself as Lady Mallory, then you, Mr. Lofting, and you, Mr. Wilson. And the 3 of us are inside the vault itself. Do you still have a good view, members of the audience?
Front row stalls, Mr. Holmes.
Ah, well, I hope you enjoyed the show, Mr. Lofting. At this time, did the casket remain in full view throughout?
It did. I'd swear it on the book.
As I suspected. Now, Mr. Lofting, if you would move to the table with the ledger... Now, there's really no need to look surprised. It was a simple deduction. Your writing's quite different from Mr. Wilson's.
Is that how you knew about my injury?
Well, clearly something had prevented you from fulfilling your usual writing duties. Mr. Lofty?
Well, I was at the far side of the table, facing the others. Here.
Admirable. Please read out the relevant entries.
Vault unlocked at 2:36 post meridian.
Well, we've done that. Next.
Casket unlocked at 2:37.
Then I'll remove our rubber bands. Next.
Condition of contents verified by Lady Jean Mallory.
I look inside the box. Yes. Contents confirmed.
And by Under Manager Wilson.
Mr. Wilson, here.
Confirmed.
Beautifully done. Next.
Casket relocked.
Very good.
Safety deposit drawer opened at 2:40.
Thank you. I put in our casket. Close the drawer and secure it. As verified by the penultimate entry.
Drawer closed and locked.
Excellent. And then I presume that all three of our company move back through the door into the outer chamber. Gentlemen. Thank you all for your cooperation. It's a pleasure to perform with you. Lady Mallory, was my performance accurate?
Mr. Holmes.
The audience grows restless. I think we should probably dispense with closing and reopening the door. Lestrade, this is the key to the safety deposit drawer. Go and open it, would you?
What are you saying?
Now, don't let's anticipate the climax, if you please.
Now what?
Be so good as to bring the cigar box back here.
Whatever you say.
Are the rubber bands still in place?
Well, of course they are.
Haven't been tampered with in any way.
How could they have been?
Quite. The casket is still locked. Please, unlock it. Now, if everyone, cast and audience alike, would care to gather round.
Right.
Take off the lid, Lestrade.
All right.
A neat little trick, isn't it? That's very pleasant. Now, your security system might be the finest that money can buy, Mr. Loughlin, but I can't say the same for the ventilation in your cellar. This is a most impressive office.
Oh, for the love of heaven. Holmes, I think the audience would appreciate an explanation.
Oh, I certainly would.
Well, perhaps we should get the most basic point over and done with. The Eye of Horus was not stolen.
What? Of course it was stolen.
No, Lestrade, it wasn't.
But good grief, man, the thing's disappeared.
I don't deny it.
Oh, this is absurd.
Mr. Holmes, please don't make this even more complicated than it already is.
My dear Inspector, the whole thing is and always has been entirely straightforward and remarkably simple, as was the method employed to spirit the eye away.
Well, for pity's sake, sir, tell us how it was done.
Well, forget 3 months ago for the moment. Concentrate on just now. Mr. Loughting, did you actually see the snuff box when its presence was verified?
Well, of course I... I didn't see it myself. The table was...
just too far away.
But Wilson, you saw it.
Oh, dear.
Courage, Wilson.
No, sir. I didn't see it. I lied.
You did what?
I lied.
And so did I. The box was empty.
Mr. Holmes, you lied too? But hang on, surely... If you were pretending to be... Oh, my word.
Exactly. I lied, just as Lady Mallory lied 3 months ago.
But this is impossible.
And I coerced Mr. Wilson into lying too, just as Lady Mallory did 3 months ago.
My lady, what do you have to say?
Nothing to you.
Wilson, you're dismissed. Have you any idea of the grief you've caused the bank?
Mr. Wilson is a man well acquainted with grief, Mr. Loughting.
That was a very neat trick, Mr. Holmes. How did you do it?
Watson.
Another cigar box?
Mm-hmm. Complete with snuff box. I had ample time to switch them while Holmes was shepherding you all around.
But of course, 3 months ago, there was no need to switch in a duplicate container. The casket was empty when it left your house. Isn't that so, Lady Mallory?
You said it yourself, sir. There has been no theft. It is not possible to steal one's own property, and therefore I have committed no offence.
I'm sorry, but at the very least there's the question of wasting police time, defrauding
Don't
the...
Don't bother me with trivialities, sir.
Trivialities, my lady? You call it trivial what you did to me?
Now, hold on a minute, one at a time. What did she do to you?
Mr. Holmes said it. She blackmailed me into helping her, or as good as.
Nonsense. I saved him, Inspector. Gave him the money to pay off that odious little man, Rosen.
How do you know someone like Solomon Rosen?
I'm saying no more without a solicitor present.
I can tell you most of what you need to know, Inspector.
You wouldn't dare.
Oh, no. I'll not be intimidated any more. I've made my mistakes, and I'll admit to them. Are you honest enough to do the same?
Well, Mr. Holmes, gentlemen, thank you. Lady Mallory, I must ask you to come with me.
I wish to speak to Mr. Holmes in private.
No, I'm sorry, I can't
allow that. Oh, for heaven's sake, man. Do you think I'm going to run away?
I'll accept the responsibility, Lestrade.
Very well. If the rest of you would come with me...
Well, I've been thrown out of my own office.
No, sir, you're being asked to accommodate the wish of a lady.
Under protest.
After you, Mr. Lofting.
Doctor?
We'll be just outside.
What will happen to me, Mr. Holmes?
That's for the police to decide.
The police? I suppose there will be publicity.
Very probably.
And disgrace, the very thing I sought to avoid. I shan't attempt to excuse what I did.
I never expected that you would.
But perhaps I shall be given the opportunity to explain it. I wonder if anyone will understand. You understand, I think.
I do.
Yes. It was perhaps quite a clever plan.
Far too clever. A more mundane crime would have been much harder to solve. You should have arranged for the eye to disappear while it was in your house or on its way to the palace.
Now, Mr. Holmes, you really can't expect a titled lady to think like a consulting detective.
Thank goodness for it. Well, my lady, shall we rejoin the others?
Poor woman. To be driven to that. Well, go on then. You know you're dying to tell me. How did you work it out?
By looking for the simplest possible explanation. The easiest way for the Eye of Horus to disappear from the bank...
was if it hadn't been there in the first place.
Exactly. Most of the rest came from our visit to Lady Mallory's house. I'm afraid that your usual commendable sympathies for a female in distress blinded you to the obvious.
Which was?
Well, the place was full of the most curious contrasts. New pieces of furniture, but different items had previously stood. Paintings that had been removed and replaced with others. And did you observe the staff?
What about them?
Well, the butler was obviously long-serving, but everyone else was comparatively new.
Ah, you're describing a household that's fallen into decay and is being built up again?
Bravo! Lady Mallory, or probably her late husband, had been deep in debt and then found a solution, shall we say, some 3 months ago?
When she sold the eye to a collector?
But of course she couldn't do so openly because of the stain it would put on her family's honour, a consideration more important than any other. You know, there is one thing I still don't understand.
Oh, isn't that my line?
Sorry. I don't know how Lady Mallory found out that Wilson needed money.
Well, I thought you might have asked her that when you were alone together.
It would have been impolite.
Ah. Well, she knew about Rosen. Is it possible that the family had had dealings with him themselves? He could well have told her.
Well, if you're right, Mr. Rosen's activities are even more wide-ranging than we thought. Lestrade could be in for a promotion.
While you get no credit at all.
The same old story.
What about the international incident?
Oh, I doubt it'll be on quite the scale that the Commissioner predicted. See, look at this.
Huh?
It is intelligence from Mycroft. The new Egyptian ambassador specifically requested that none of his country's antiquities be exhibited at the banquet.
Good grief. Situation surrounding them too volatile at present. Better if official reports back to Egypt don't have to mention them.
Yes, I detect Mycroft's persuasive hand in there.
What do you suppose will happen to Mr. Wilson?
You know the district messenger office at the bottom end of Regent Street?
Oh, of course.
The manager's retiring next month. I might have a word.
Oh, that would suit Wilson down to the ground.
While being rather less strain on his nerves.
And you might have a word. That's very decent of you.
Not at all. I use that office a lot. I need someone reliable there.
Yes, just as you like. What if he falls into debt again?
Oh, no, no, I think he's learnt his lesson. Did he mention to you how he managed to get into such serious trouble in the first place?
No.
I'm afraid he was rather fond of horses, but not too practised in determining just how fast they can run, or how slowly. Gambling can be a dangerous pastime, wouldn't you say so, Doctor? Though, not without its rewards, in the hands of an expert. Or someone blessed with uncommon good luck.
Holmes, would you care for a cigar?
Why, my dear Watson, how very unexpected. Thank you.
In The Eyes of Horus, Sherlock Holmes was played by Clive Merrison and Dr. John Watson by Andrew Sachs. Lady Mallory was played by Colette O'Neill, Inspector Lestrade by Stephen Thorne, Lofting by Stephen Critchlow, Wilson by Jonathan Taffler, Mrs. Hartnell by Janice Acqua, the Sergeant by Malcolm Tierney, and the Constable by Paul Ryder. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The violinist was Leonard Friedman. The Eyes of Horus was written by Bert Cools from a reference in the novel The Hound of the Baskervilles by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. The director was Patrick Rayner.